Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Happy good evening to you. Wednesday evening. And boy, the president had two rallies today in Arizona. Fantastic events, large crowds, cheering, thunderous enthusiasm to reelect him for four more years. Let's begin with prayer, and let's go to my book here, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day, and let's see what we've got. We've got a quote from Living the Gospel of Life, the U.S. Bishop's document, that says, "We get the public officials we deserve. Their virtue, or lack thereof, is a judgment not only on them, but on us." Reflection. This powerful statement points to our responsibility to elect pro-life candidates and keep pro-abortion candidates out of office. They cannot get into office, of course, without a sufficient number of people voting for them. Voters need to ask, if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how can he respect mine? Prayer. Lord, raise up in our nation wise and virtuous voters, that we may have godly leaders. Amen. You can get this book, ProLifeReflectionsForEveryday.com. I know many of you have the book already. And I say amen to what Marcia is saying in the comment, greatest president ever. You know, it's true. Look at the historic accomplishments he has made. Look at the transparency he has. Transparent. There's never been a more transparent president. People, you know, over throughout history, you know, who have said, yeah, I wonder what the president is thinking today. I wonder if he's happy about the things I'm happy about. I wonder if he's angry at the things I'm angry about, or disappointed at the things I'm disappointed in, or concerned about the things I'm concerned about. Well, now we know. Day by day, moment by moment, thanks to his transparency with us through Twitter. He doesn't have to do that. But he knows that that's a way of connecting with the American people. It's a beautiful way. We know what our leader in the highest office of the land is thinking. And Cheryl, I agree with you that watching Trump dance at the end of the rallies, I love that as well. You know, and you see, that's a part of what we're saying here. He connects. He connects with the people. And he loves his job. And like he said, he didn't need to do this. He in fact, this cost him billions of dollars that he could have been making. He did it for love of his country. He doesn't need all these attacks that he gets, all this criticism. But he knows he's making progress, and he knows he's able to make progress, and that's why he does this. He's able to make progress, and it's progress for us. He doesn't divide the country. He unites the country. When he establishes, you know, five times more the medium household income than what was the case under the previous administration, that's a benefit for everyone. It's not just a benefit for his friends and those who support him. It's a benefit for all Americans. When he builds that wall and it doesn't keep immigrants from coming into our country who want to come here legally and who love our country and who want to come here to do good, but it does keep out those that are trying to come here to do harm to you and your families and your communities, that's a benefit for everybody. That protection, that wall protects Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, protects people of every ethnicity. The success that he brings to America is a success for all, and that's what unites the country. Unity comes through success, and unity comes through reaffirming our founding principles. And that's what he does each and every day as well. John Paul is saying Trump has been guided by God. And you know, he believes that. He believes in God. He believes we are one nation under God. His party doesn't take the words "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance like the Democrat Party does. He is so committed to all of this. Robert is saying something important here. I'm so sick of fathers of abortion being left out of the equation. Men are people too. And men are very much part of the equation with abortion. You're absolutely right. We see in our ministry of healing after abortion more and more men coming forward, either who are sorry for having been part of the abortion, maybe they forced it or they participated in it, but also men coming forward who tried to protect their own child and couldn't stop the abortion. Some of them didn't even know about it till after it was too late. And that's a deep pain for men, and we got to be attentive to that. And, you know, those who are framing this issue as just a woman's issue, they're doing a great disservice to women because they're isolating them. It's not just a woman's issue. A man is a human being. That's his child also. And, you know, it's men don't stand around with their hands in their pockets when little babies are being killed. They go and they do something about it. Tracy is saying, I don't believe those polls saying Biden is ahead. There's a lot of inaccurate polls, and for a very good reason. I mean, some of them are inaccurate on purpose. Some of them, they're just not such great pollsters. Others, you know, show him ahead. Because look, there's an inherent advantage that Democrats have in polling. It's just a reality of polling, the way the sampling is done and whatnot. A major pollster in America told me not long ago in a meeting I had with him that if a Democrat is ahead 6 points in a poll, the race is about even. So keep that in mind, because a lot of these polls, and it's not all deliberate malice, there is some malice. Some of these are suppression polls, because remember, the battle is in the mind of the enemy. When you're in warfare, you try to make the enemy think he's at a disadvantage. The battle is in the mind of the enemy. Don't let that happen here. I mean, remember in 2016, we keep saying, oh, remember in 2016 it was the same way. They said, oh, Hillary Clinton has a 98% chance of winning this election. Nonsense. Cheryl's asking a good question. Has anybody here ever been polled? I haven't. I haven't either. Has anybody? It'd be interesting to hear. If anybody has ever gotten a phone call from a pollster, let us know. It'd be interesting to see. But they oversample Democrats. I mean, if in the poll, you got to ask, in the poll, of the people you called, and remember, all a poll is telling you is how 500 or 1,000 people answered a question. It's not telling you what the outcome of the election is going to be. It's telling you how 1,000 people answered a question. That's all it tells you for sure. But the thing about it is, in the people that you did call, what percentage of them are Republicans? What percentage of them are Democrats? If that percentage among your polling sample is not pretty close to the actual sampling in the general public, well, then you've got something skewed there. One of our friends who's watching says, I have been polled by telephone. Okay, that's very interesting. If there's anything about that experience, and Ginger says she has as well. She's an independent. If you guys want to tell us anything about that experience or how they ask the questions, that would be interesting to know. You know, the other thing to keep in mind about polls is that even those that are really trying to do a good job, and again, you have some who are more experienced than others, the dynamics of American politics have changed. That's what's key to keep in mind. I've mentioned this to you before, that in 2016, 6 million people who voted for President Trump had never voted before, or hadn't voted in a decade or more. I voted today here in Florida, and a gentleman came up to me at the polling place and told me he had never voted in a, he was an older gentleman, he had never voted in a presidential election before. But he came out this time because he was motivated by all the good that President Trump is doing for the country. And that was, there were 6 million of them like that last time. Now, the reason this, what this has to do with the polls is the following. Those people were not captured by the polls. You know why? Because the best of the polls asks likely voters. Remember, a poll just of people's opinions nationwide really doesn't mean that much at all, because are these people even going to vote? You know, polling of adults nationwide, it's first of all, we don't elect a president by nationwide vote. We elect them by electoral vote. And so it's really the electoral key states, swing states, that matter the most with polling. And I can tell you, the president is either ahead or tied in all these key states. That's the internal polling. These campaigns have internal polling, and that's the best read on what's going on. And he's either ahead or tied within the margin of error, within striking distance. It's winnable in every one of the key states right now, no matter what the polls are telling you. But even the best polls, they look for the likely voters, which is a good measurement. It's better than just a poll of adults. It's better than just a poll of registered voters, because again, a lot of registered voters don't vote. So sure, you can ask them what candidate they think is better, but they don't vote, a lot of these people. If you get likely voters, well, likely doesn't mean definite, first of all. And secondly, what about the unlikely voters? So a poll is going to be wrong if it's just talking about likely voters and you end up having a candidate who is grabbing the unlikely voters and motivating them to come to the polls. That's what's happening. That's what happened in 2016 with President Trump. That's what's happening now. Do you know that in this election right now, we've already had more people vote early than have ever in any presidential election? Last time around, it was 46 some odd million. Now it's already up to 60 or 70. This is going to be the biggest turnout that we've ever had in an election. So I would not don't spend too much mental energy trying to figure out the polls. Spend the mental energy trying to figure out how you can reach more voters. That's the key name of the game right now. That's the key. That's what we need. We need to reach the voters, make sure they vote, and that's what's going to work. That's what wins the election. Let's see. Colin is saying there were long lines today in Alexandria, Virginia, all the way down the street. Yeah, people are coming out for this election. They're motivated. Let's see. Someone else mentioned that the president did announce a new initiative for Latinos, which is great. He had announced the new. You see what he's doing now? He's pointing out, yeah, the Dream Program. This is going to. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It is going to, much like the Platinum Plan for our Black brothers and sisters, the Dream Program for our Latino brothers and sisters is going to increase. By I think 500,000 the small businesses that our Latino community is able to start and to operate. It's going to stimulate the growth of small businesses, which can then become big businesses. It's going to create an influx of jobs, and it is going to improve the lives of our Latino brothers and sisters in various other ways, which we'll go into in more detail. We'll do one of these evenings a more thorough discussion about it. But yes, the president just announced that, and he knows how to bring jobs, and he knows how to make businesses thrive. You know, and one of the ways of doing that, of course, is getting rid of these burdensome regulations. He has, more than any president, gotten rid of regulations, and he's going to continue to do that. But the Latinos and the Black community, he has done so much for both of these communities. And his polling in both of those communities is at levels that no Republican has ever seen before. And that is really an encouraging thing. So, yes, Christine, thank you for highlighting President Trump's accomplishments. That's what we need to do. PromisesKept.com is his website of his accomplishments. We have ProLifePresident.com listing the various accomplishments. And they're all things we should rejoice in. And they're all things that, as I say, success, as he says too, success unites us. Success is a unifying factor. Yeah, I have some quotes here from some people who wrote to us with their support for the president. Diane from Wisconsin says, thank you, God bless you. We need a strong middle class to get rid of poverty. Schools need to be teaching the correct history, math, reading, etc., to stop the dumbing down of America and give kids a joyful life. You give us hope that things can be better again. This is addressed to the president. You give us hope that things can be better again. I pray for you and all God's people. That's Diane, another Diane from Ohio. President Donald Trump restored my faith in America as a country of freedom. 8 years of watching our jobs being taken away, babies being killed, euthanasia being considered, and fears of losing our ability to worship were enough for me. We had been held hostage by a party that wants to turn our country into a godless society and destroy family, morals, and truth. It is very apparent that President Trump loves our country and God, and that he works diligently fighting against those who seek to destroy it. So true. Dolores from Pennsylvania, the president has given me hope for this country, and he will continue to do so when he is elected again. His love for us and care for us, especially during this pandemic, is very important. His willingness to even give the country money to offset problems due to the virus closing down businesses. He's a God-fearing man. Yes, he is. Upholds the right to life for each and every human being. He's not afraid to talk openly to the whole world about the unborn and their right to life. He's not afraid to confront anyone about anything. He's a fighter, and what a blessing he is to us. Robert is asking a question. You don't have to be Catholic to pray the rosary, right? Absolutely right. You don't have to be Catholic to pray the rosary. The rosary, of course, is based primarily in scripture. It's a reflection on biblical events. The words of the prayers come almost entirely from scripture. And so thanks for bringing that up. And because we do have a lot of our friends from other denominations who watch our programs, and we want to encourage them to do that. Phil is asking an interesting question. Is President Trump more Catholic than New York Governor Cuomo? Yes, he is. He identifies himself as a non-denominational Christian. And he used to identify himself as a Presbyterian. Now he says he's a non-denominational Christian. But when you have Catholics that are in favor of killing babies by abortion and who actually advance the so-called right to do that, they're violating the faith in a very fundamental way. The president is not violating it. He's upholding it. He's upholding it. And so that is just more Catholic than some priests are, actually. So, you know, the other thing some people were asking is if they could change their vote if they voted early. And we're going to address this question in more detail. But the answer is that in a good number of states, you can do that. Now, the best thing, and of course, the time is getting short now. In some states where you can do that, the deadline is in the next day or two, because the election day is only a few days away. In some places, you can do it right up to election day. The state laws differ from place to place. So you always have to check with your board of elections. Check with the elections office where you cast your vote and ask them. And this might be a good thing to pass on to your friends. You know, maybe, and remember, we had talked about this months ago when we said, remember, we were urging, as the Trump campaign was urging, that the dates of the presidential debates be moved earlier because they didn't have the first one start until September 29th. Well, millions of people had already voted without even the first debate happening. Then, of course, the second one got canceled. And then we just had the third one on October 22nd. A lot of people looked at that and said, wow, President Trump was making a lot of sense. You know, maybe they had already voted for Biden when they saw that. Or maybe now some seeing these scandalous stories coming out. I don't know how many of you saw Tucker Carlson last night and all these revelations about the fact that Joe Biden really did know. He did know about the business deals with his son. And the question is, you know, not so much Hunter, but the question is, why did Joe Biden lie about not knowing what Hunter was doing? And why did he allow his office of the vice presidency to be used in this way to enrich his family because people were buying access to him? Those are the questions, how he's going to use or misuse his office, the highest in the land, and how that makes him beholden to some of these countries who are not our friends. So what I'm saying is a lot of people look at this stuff happening and maybe they voted for Biden because, you know, maybe they voted for him because somebody told them to and they really didn't know too much about him. They trusted the person, they cast their vote. Now they hear about these things. It's a legitimate question, and it was a trending question on Google searches the other day. And it's like, can I change my mind? Election day is not over yet. Can I change my mind? And in some states, the answer to that is yes. So check with your Board of Elections, because if you know people that might be inclined to change their mind, well, maybe they ought to change their vote. Let's see. John Paul. Let's take John Paul's question. I met a Catholic woman who was pro-life, who was voting Biden. There are lukewarm Catholics. We are called to defend every life. Every baby is a gift from God. You know, you wonder why, don't you, that people like that would vote for Biden. And John Paul, thank you for mentioning that. Unfortunately, and J.A. Hernandez is saying the same thing. There are some Catholics calling to vote for Biden. What a shame. And it is a shame. It really is. Because, you know what, he's not only denying his Catholicism in his actions. And Linda is so right. Democrats are not the Democrats of the past. They're far more extreme now. But Biden is, he's misusing, he's abusing his Catholic faith. He's trying to use it as a way of getting votes. He's not living it. And some people say, oh, how can you say he's not living it? Well, you say by the external actions that he does. He performed a gay marriage ceremony in the White House. Now, we have nothing against gays as people, as persons. We respect them like we respect every human person. But the church is teaching about marriage between a man and a man, or between a woman and a woman. I'm not saying anything about those individuals as people. But the church's teaching about what marriage is very clear. And Biden actually performed a ceremony there in the, it was actually in the vice president's residence there. And it's like, how can you say you're living as a Catholic and you do things to promote abortion? You're not living as a Catholic, but he wants to use it to get Catholic votes. And so people who are voting for him, Catholics who are voting for him, we have to ask a question. Are they doing it because they think, well, I'm a Catholic, he's a Catholic, so that constitutes a reason to vote for him? That does not constitute a reason to vote for him. There's nothing anywhere in the Catholic Catechism or any of the teaching documents of the church about voting that says that we vote for people because they're Catholic or that we vote for people because of their religion. Let me put it this way. I don't vote for a candidate because he or she lives my faith. Even if I think they do, even if they're not, if I think they do. I don't vote for them because I think they live my faith. I vote for them because they're going to let me live my faith. And this is the other thing that Catholics who vote for Biden, and Colin, I want to take your question, very important. Those Catholics that vote for Biden, I got to ask them a question. Do you guys realize that he wants to shut down the freedom of the church? Somebody earlier was mentioning the Little Sisters of the Poor, and it's priests for life too. We actually had to go all the way to the Supreme Court against the mandate that President Obama and Vice President Biden imposed on the country that said we had to include certain forms of abortion in the health insurance policies that we offer our employees. We had to fight that all the way to the Supreme Court because that's part of living our faith. Part of living our faith is to say, no, we don't do that. It's not just about what we do in church on Sundays. It's about what we do in the workplace on Mondays. We had to fight all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Obama-Biden administration didn't want to listen to us. You know who set us free from that mandate, who exempted us from that mandate? President Donald Trump. So, you know, there's something personal about this for us. And there's something personal about a lot of people. Like Phil is saying, Trump is more Catholic than Biden. He most certainly is. Because Trump wants to see the Catholic Church flourish. He wants to see us be able to live our faith. You know, I've been involved in all kinds of phone calls with the administration, with people at Health and Human Services. Let's take Richard's question too. People at Health and Human Services they call, they have these conference calls for pro-life leaders and for religious leaders, in which they explain to us how they're making it easier for organizations of faith to do business in America, do business with the government, contract with the government, provide social services. Because under the Obama administration, under the Democrats, people of faith are made to feel like second-class citizens. That literally is harder to do business if you're a ministry of faith. And sometimes you feel like you have to compromise your faith, or you have to hide your faith. And oh my gosh, Brenda's asking, what did it cost to take the case to the Supreme Court? Well, fortunately, you know, we did get a lot of legal services pro bono, but there were a lot of costs to our employees, and we had to raise money to go through several court hearings. You know, the district court, there's the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, but you know, a lot of it was just the cost of day-to-day business. And whether it's the time, you know, of our staff and our attorneys preparing documents, traveling to Washington, et cetera, et cetera. So it costs money. But a lot of, we have a great general counsel here, and the American Center for, the American Freedom Law Center is the organization that our attorneys run that was able to take us through this process. So all of these, you know, you wonder, these people, these Catholics that are voting for Biden, do you even realize he doesn't respect your freedom to live your Catholic faith? Don't listen to him, like one of you said, quoting the scriptures and meeting with the Pope. What does that mean if he's not going to let you live your Catholic faith? What does that mean? It's nothing. It's window dressing. It's deception, as a matter of fact. It's an abuse of religion. Really bad. Colin is saying, you know, Father, well, you think Biden is even aware of what he's doing? Something's wrong. Let me ask you, friends, did you see the video clip from yesterday? Laura Ingraham showed it on her show last night when Biden was in Pennsylvania. And he had this little event. And after he got finished, he was walking back to his car, had the mask on, and somebody asked him a question. There is something wrong. He was standing there, and he wasn't making any sense. He was trying to answer the question. He says, oh, you know, well, here's the deal. The thing is, and he stops like this. He says, if they confirm Barrett, I think it's today, and he couldn't get to the end of the sentence, and he was stopping and thinking and confused, wasn't sure if the confirmation vote for Barrett was today. How could you not? It was one of the biggest news stories all day long. The Senate was voting on Amy Coney Barrett. As one of you was saying, you know, he couldn't even remember Donald Trump's name. Called him George. Yes, I'm running against four more years of George. I mean, look, we all know people, maybe some of our loved ones who have had cognitive decline. We're not speaking with disrespect here about him as a person. We wish him well. We wish him good health. We wish everyone good health. No disrespect is intended here, because this could be any one of us. And as they say, there's friends, there's family we have that go through these things. No, we're not talking any less respectfully of any mental decline that he might be having than we would of our own friends and family. But the reason that we have a right to talk about this and to be concerned about it is that this man is running for the highest office in our land. He's asking to govern us. He's asking to govern our families, our communities. So, yeah, we have every right to demand that this person give evidence that he's fit for the job. Otherwise, we're putting our families, our communities, our nation in danger. So that's the issue. It's like, could you please be straight with us? What's happening here? Why do we see him stumbling like this? I mean, this is not a one occasion, another occasion. This has become a pattern now for a long time. And, you know, again, people can look at it as, oh, you're just trying to use a political battering ram. No. We're sincerely concerned that this man could be elected, and how's he going to carry out the office of President of the United States if he can't answer a simple question that somebody asked him when he was walking to his car? Really, really bad. This is of great concern. Let's go down to the Richard Carlucci question, and people have to demand answers to this thing. So Richard is asking about the unborn who are not baptized. What happens to them, essentially, is the question. Well, you know, we don't know for sure. We know that God wants them to be saved. We know that baptism is necessary for salvation. We also know that God loves them even more than we do. And so what the church asks us to do is not to answer a question that we don't have the answer to, but rather to trust and to commend them to the Lord. The approach we take for these babies is that we hope for their salvation. Basically, we say to God, you know, Lord, you know better than we do how you take care of these babies. We know you love them more, even more than we do. And so we say to the Lord, please take care of them. And we entrust them to the Father. And we be at peace. Meanwhile, we proclaim the gospel, and we also say to the parents of babies, be sure that you get your babies baptized as soon as you possibly can. That's always very important. All right, friends. Well, I think I'm going to give you a blessing and get some good night's sleep. We have been so, oh my goodness, pushing on the gas so hard. These recent days and weeks with this election, it's very intense, but very, very, very winnable, brothers and sisters, very winnable, and you're a big part of the equation of winning this election. Remember, every single day, the question is, reach more voters. How many more voters can we reach today to bring them to the polls? I want to urge you, anything and everything that you can put off until after Tuesday, do that, and just focus every day on reaching more voters to vote for not only our president. Remember, we've got to win back the House of Representatives, and we've got to win back the United States Senate. We've got to increase, we have the majority in the Senate. We have to maintain and increase the majority in the Senate. It's so, so essential, absolutely essential. So thanks, friends. We'll have more programming coming on in the late night hours, especially for our friends on the West Coast. But starting at 11 p.m. Eastern, we're going to go for some nighttime programming, and you'll see some good things. Jackie, let me conclude with your wonderful comment. You said thank you, and then you said red wave coming. I believe that. Red wave coming. Remember, the indicators are, we said a little bit earlier about polls, but there's a lot of other indicators, and they're all in our favor. The voter registration, Republicans are way up this year than normal. Early voting, Republicans are way above normal. And the ground game, we blow the Democrats out of the water. In fact, it's the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee right now have the biggest ground game of any election in American history. With 158 million voter contacts made right now, they're getting to 200 million, 2.5 million volunteers. Can you imagine having 2.5 million volunteers for any project? 2.5 million. You can help make calls. Go to trumptalk.gop, trumptalk.gop. And you can help make calls even in these last days. Be part of history. The biggest ground game in any American political effort in our history. That's why I think we win. Like Colin said, let's roll. May the Lord bless you, give you his protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to get some good rest. See you in the morning.
Even though I can't vote for Donald Trump, and I'm not old enough yet, I will vote for an imaginary election, a vote. And here's my card. Vote for Donald Trump. Bye, Lucas Poyard. Bye.
Hello, I'm Evangelist Alveda King. Day by day, my work with Priest for Life and Father Frank Pavone provides me with many opportunities to speak up for the unborn, whether on television and radio or in conferences with pastors or with government leaders. In order to accomplish all this work, we rely on the donations of individuals like you who believe in this cause and want to help us save lives. May I ask you to support us generously? Go today to prolifegift.org and give as generous a gift as you can. I appreciate it personally and will pray for you each day.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.